Appreciate the prayer. Ask a continued interest in your prayer. I just was telling Sister Nancy this afternoon, I just feel like somebody's praying for me, because I've just felt an energy in our studies here lately that I haven't felt in a while, and I'm just so thankful for that. And pray the Lord will bless our study tonight as we notice the 19th division of Psalm 119, beginning in verse 145. 145. After I studied these eight verses, I summarized it by saying earnest prayers for daily grace to live faithfully. Earnest prayers. See, not all praying is earnest, is it? I think so often of that quote, and you hear me say it often, of George Washington, when he said there was a time when he felt like he had to repent of his prayers. Sometimes we don't give it the time and the energy that we should, and we feel it. If you know the difference, you feel it when you miss that prayer time. So in these eight verses, David speaks a lot about earnest praying, and we need that daily grace, don't we? We are thankful for eternal salvation, but we're also thankful for daily salvation. We need both. So we're thankful for that. All right. Verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. Notice the force which was David called for God to hear him. Said, I cried with my whole heart. He didn't just think of it with a passing thought or just mention it, but he cried with his whole heart. That kind of praying only happens when the world is shut out of the mind and a great urgency is being felt for the matters at hand. Now that's enjoyable praying when you can get to that place, isn't it? This shows an understanding that all of our help must come from God. It demonstrates a deep desire to stay in communion with his God, a resolve to faithfully follow what God has revealed. Prayer, reading, and meditation each have their part in showing us God's particular will for us. That is, what is suited particularly to our own individual needs. Now that's important. let me just finish the paragraph. They keep it freshly in mind and firmly fixed in our heart. So while the word expresses God's will in general, prayer and meditation make it personal. And that's when prayers are powerful. We can feel the presence of God. We can feel closeness with him. And in that meditation and in that time of prayer, we feel like the Lord's hearing us and that we're actually communing. You know, sometimes you pray and it doesn't seem like it gets above your head, doesn't it? And that's a dry season when that happens. Oh, but when you feel like you're communing with God. And I didn't put this in the paragraph, but I'm learning more and more the older I get that it's good not only to pray to God, but to listen after you've prayed. And the Spirit will begin to bring impressions to the mind and heart. That's so needful, isn't it? And when the Spirit's speaking to you like that, that's personal. That's just suited for you. That's not general thoughts like you read, even though it's all the truth, they're general thoughts. But when it becomes personal, then that's so much better. Verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. This is similar to the previous verse, but the connection here is that when God answers, there's a salvation or a saving influence that we receive from Him when we sense that He has heard us. And we need that every day. We need this saving influence upon our heart and mind each day. We need it. God is pleased to give it. And so we should be asking for it on a regular basis. If God's pleased to give it to us, then why wouldn't we ask Him for it? We need it to influence our heart, subdue fleshly passions, and to direct our footsteps in that good and right way. It's good for us. Verse 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. You know, if we use the meaning of prevented the way we use it today, we'd have a real problem with this verse, wouldn't we? Joshua's the only one I find in the Bible that called upon God and the sun and the moon stopped, stood still. So we're not saying that we kept the sun from coming up, obviously. Okay, but what is it? What is it meaning? This verse and in the next, David expresses when it was that he lifted his fervent cries unto the Lord. The word prevented here carries the idea of going before with anticipation. Thus David's prayers were uttered before the dawning of the morning, in anticipation of sweet communion with God and in exercise of that hope that God's people have within them. I can tell you personally, some of the sweetest praying I've enjoyed has been in the wee hours of the morning. I used to say when it was quiet, and it is fairly quiet where we are now. But if you live in town, that's a challenge sometimes to find quiet anytime. But when you can enjoy some time with the Lord in those early hours of the day, it just seems like that's the most suitable time for praying. Now, I know there's people that have different schedules, and if it works out best for them and if they can commune with the Lord at a different time of the day, that's fine. But I have personally found it to be more profitable early in the morning. That hope, though we often associate it with heaven to come, also enables us to enjoy His presence with us throughout each day. And with such a feeling of His presence with us and in remembrance of His promises for our care and safety, we have a very bright hope through all the changing scenes of life. Now, I'm speaking the word hope, but we know that faith is in there, isn't it? Because Hebrews 11 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But David is using the idea of hoping in the word here. And so it's hard to separate faith and hope. Same spirit, isn't it? Okay, all right, he says, so David's waking thoughts were toward God, and no doubt he desired to keep them on God and His word as much as he could all day. He said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. No doubt in those times when the enemies might attack, there was a lot of comfort to be received in hearing the night watchman announce at their times that all is well. Just imagine, I'm pausing here from the notes, but just imagine living in a walled city. A lot of times the houses were along the wall, and the watchman would walk around the top of the wall. And at the appointed time, they would announce something like, all is well. It might wake you up in the night, but that would be a welcome sound to hear if you knew that at times the enemy could be attacking. And there's somebody on the watch. There's somebody announcing all's well. Just that alone would be comforting to hear at night. But David says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. No doubt, those times there was comfort to be received in that. And even though it might awaken you in the night, it was such a comforting message that you could easily slip back into a peaceful rest. But before the night watchman would announce his report, David was laying and meditating upon the word of God and beholding wondrous things. Back in verse 18 of this psalm, David had said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And no doubt David spoke of opening the understanding in order to know more of God's will, but perhaps here his desire is also to awaken early in the morning, before the dawning, to enjoy a special time of meditation on the word and communion with the Lord. This is indeed restful to the body and nourishing to the soul. And it is, isn't it? Nourishes the soul. I've often said that a well-fed soul can handle a lot more than a well-fed body. Because the Lord's strengthening us in the inner man. And we need that. Verse 149. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. We've talked about this quickening a lot as we've gone through Psalm 149. I endeavored to explain it again, but just before we get into the paragraph, there's been lots of ways that David's asked for the Lord to quicken him. According to thy word, according to thy tender mercies, you know, just according to thy loving kindness, quicken me. In other words, bring it fresh. Help me to be renewed in my understanding of these things, and help me to be close to you and sensitive to things that would draw us away from the Lord. That's the kind of quickening David is speaking out. Obviously, if you use the New Testament word for quickening in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We know that's the life giving of life, spiritual life. But David is a man that's already been given spiritual life. And so he needs that refreshing and that drawing near and that close communion with the Lord so that we can be sensitive to those things that would hinder us. All right? So he says, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Having the habit of spending much time in prayer and deep meditation upon the word of God, David was well aware of the fact that while he was so unworthy, yet the kindness of God is so regularly displayed in his love and tender mercy to those who seek to know him and who try to order their steps according to his will. The loving kindness of God. And so David appeals to God's goodness and loving kindness for acceptance, rather than any merit in himself. This was from the leading of the Spirit, for now in the gospel age, we know that God does not hear us for our sake, but for Jesus' sake, for he alone is holy, and he is now at the Father's right hand to hear our prayer and to intercede for us. What we need is more quickening. That is, to stay close to him and grow in our understanding of what his will is and how to follow it in our lives. Don't we need that? Yes. Yeah. So to do this, we need regular, daily exposure to that word and meditation upon it so that the Spirit can do its perfecting work to quicken us, draw us closer to him. Now, I know James speaks about let patience have her perfect work. But really, we're talking about the same thing here. Trusting in the Word, depending upon the leadership of the Spirit. Let that perfecting work happen. You know, that parable of the sower and the soils, the sower and the seed, or nowadays a lot of people like to call it the parable of the soils, because the kind of soil depended on the kind of soil as to what kind of fruit was brought forth or harvest. And those soils represented our heart. And so he talks about that seed that was sown among thorns. And those thorns represented the cares of this life, cares and pleasures of this life, and it choked out the effect of the seed, the Word of God, and brought no fruit to perfection. What kind of fruit are we bearing to the Lord? Could it be that if that soil of our heart was worked a little bit more? You know, Jeremiah 4 talks about breaking up the fallow ground. Our heart soil needs to be worked a little bit more and exercised in the things of God and the Word of God, the mercy of God and the grace of God, so that we can bring forth more fruit to perfection. Not let the cares and the pleasures of this world choke out the effect of the Word. Verse 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. That's true, isn't it? Those that follow after mischief, they are far from thy law. The closer he was to God, that's David, the better and more quickly he could see how far from God all they who followed mischief. So those that were following mischief, when David was close to the Lord, it was easy for him to see how far they were from the Lord, all right? He could spot them a way off. Likewise, the more comfortable we are around those who follow mischief, the more it says about how far we've allowed our thinking to drift from his law. If those following mischief, if we're comfortable around those, that's not good, is it? All right? We want to be able to spot it quickly. We want to be uncomfortable around that, don't we? Okay. And so it is far better that we stay close to God so that we can recognize that mischief and keep ourselves unspotted from it. Like James talked about in James 1:27, where he talks about pure religion and undefiled before God. Visit the widows and the orphans and their affliction, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's what we need to do. So David was able to recognize that they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Nevertheless, there are times when they will be close at hand and we'll need the good counsel of his word to know how we should conduct ourselves while in that experience. If those that are following mischief are close to us, we need this word to teach us how to keep ourselves unspotted from that. Okay? 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. So no matter who is around us and no matter how mischievous they might be, God is with us and he's greater than any foe we will ever have to face. I didn't put the reference in here, but didn't he say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? That's good to remember, isn't it? All right? Further, in those situations, it's not time to seek new wisdom or to act differently, but it's time to maintain that which we already know to be true and faithful, God's word of truth. When our trust and dependence is upon him, he is near. For his promise says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I love that verse. You've heard me quote it a lot because it's so good. I mean, when you need help and you're trusting the Lord, he's promised he'll help us. He sees, he knows, he's promised to help. The more you prove his faithfulness, the more truth he will show unto you. That's how you grow in understanding. Put him to the test. You know, like Malachi says, try me. Try me. You ever try the Lord? Not with doubtful disputation or anything, but just trust him. Step out on faith. You might be amazed. Might be amazed. Verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. I love those thoughts that the Word of God tells us. When God, who is able to speak about forever with perfect understanding. It boggles our mind to try to think about forever. It boggles our mind. If you stop and, you know, we love those verses. I'll get to the notes here in a minute, but we love those verses where he speaks of things he's done before the foundation of the world, but we really can't understand that. We're timely creatures. We got to put everything on a timeline. And if you start talking about things before the timeline, it just boggles our mind. But that's God. He was already there. He started time. And he'll end it. And he'll still be there. Isn't that wonderful? Declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's God. A very wonderful characteristic of godliness is its immutability. That is, its unchangeableness. The inventions of man will never cease. And with those inventions, man has to adapt and change to accommodate new and different ways of doing things. With all those changes, some challenges to God's people, with all these changes come challenges to God's people to maintain that good and right way. Nevertheless, God's truth abides forever. That's comforting, isn't it? And the more we can be settled in his truth, and the more grounded we are in his ways, the less the changes of the world affect us. Isn't that right? If you get your mind on all the things that's happening in this world and all the changes that's taking place, and, you know, if you're listening to the news right now, everybody's talking about January 1st. If they're not talking about January 1st, they're talking about when the calendar's going to run out, end of December. I'm not worried about that, are you? But you can get all worked up and your stomach can be in knots about what's happening in the world, but read your Bible. God's not worried about a thing. He declares the end from the beginning. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He decrees. He accomplishes. He speaks and it stands fast. And his word does not change. So when the changes of this world are bothering you, pick up your Bible and start reading that unchanging word. It'll settle your heart. It'll calm your mind. What is it? Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. That's a good verse. Good verse. All right? No matter what happened, okay, I'm giving you a reference here. Let me go back and get that last. Nevertheless, God's truth abides forever. And the more we can be settled in his truth and the more grounded we are in his ways, the less the changes of this world affect us. Now listen, no matter what happened to Joseph, he kept doing what was right. And the Lord was with him. Now, isn't that a comforting thought? Since God doesn't change, do you think he'd do the same for us? Also, in 1 Samuel 18:14 says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Sounds like good counsel for us. So may God's wisdom ever be our guide. These verses speak a lot of David's earnest prayers for daily grace for living. If we get our mind off the Lord, living can be hard. But when we're trying to draw close to the Lord, isn't that what James says? Draw nigh unto him and he will what? He'll draw nigh unto you. Wow, sounds like a valuable promise to remember. If we don't feel like the Lord's close to us, who left? You know? Draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. Remember Joseph's experience. He had a lot of problems, didn't he? And not because he was such a rascal. To the contrary, I don't think you'll find a negative word about Joseph in all of Scripture. Now, obviously, he was a sinner. Obviously, he needed the grace of God just like we do. But he was a wonderful example of faithfulness, and God was with him. Sounds like something we need to remember. Sounds like something we need to follow. Earnest prayers for grace, for daily grace, for living. We need it, don't we? May God help us to seek his face and be blessed. Well, we're almost there. Well, don't get sad yet. We got three more to go. It seemed like a high mountain when we started Psalm 119, but we're almost there. I believe, Lord willing, we'll finish it this year. Pardon? Yeah. So, but keep praying. Keep praying. And I'm glad that we're taking the effort to put some notes to this, because most of this I'll forget. So I need to go back and rehearse and reread. But it's been an enjoyable study for me, and I pray that the Lord has given you something from it as well. Someone have a number you'd like to close with tonight?